Hey, Lionesses, it's Natasha here with the latest edition of Amplified. I'm really, really excited because today we're joined by Sulaima Jorani. Hi, Sulaima.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
We're so happy to be able to speak to you and learn more about your story. For our listeners, just to let you know a little bit more about Sulaima and her amazing journey, she is a motivational speaker and a philanthropist who does approximately 200 public talks around the world a year. She's an advisor to major companies. She talks to companies like Lego, Samsung, Dell, on things like customer loyalty, strategic networking, and change management. Sulaima, in 2012, was selected as one of 192 leaders by the World Economic Forum. And in 2016, she was appointed by TED Talks as a mentor to the speakers. So congratulations. Welcome to Amplified.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it sounds incredible when you put on my CV, and it sounds amazing even to myself. You know, when I just live my life and when I go to work and when I try to do my best every day, I really don't see my life as a career. What I'm really thinking about is how to create an awesome life and have great impact every day. So even to me, it sounds amazing. But yeah, thank you so much for this wonderful introduction.
It is amazing. The funny thing, speaking of, you know, just what you said, is I felt like when I was a kid growing up in school, you know, they would ask you, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I knew I wanted to write, but I always felt like it was this one thing that you did. Like you grew up, you were this one career, and that is who you are. And as I became an adult, I learned, no, I'm a person who has a variety of interests. So, yes, I can write, but there's so many other things that I could do with my life simultaneously at the same time, you know, kind of designing this life that you love.
Well, you know, it's actually more like a portfolio, you know. We are the first generation who can actually do several and many different things at the same time. First of all, thanks to technology, we can actually sit in our living room and have a worldwide company. Thanks to technology, we can now maintain and even build a large, very diverse network, again, worldwide. Thanks to technology, we can study, we can learn things that usually we wouldn't have access to. Location and lack of money, even lack of time, is no longer any excuse of not taking on the responsibility for your own life. So I think we live in a wonderful time. Everything is actually possible. But your biggest enemy is really your own mindset. And also because we surround ourselves with people who might have very limited aspirations or even goals in life. So people will tell you all life that, oh, you can never be a writer, or it's going to be super difficult, or you're not that good at writing. But really, people are only telling you their own limitations and not your own. So you really need to have that. And I think thanks to technology, now we can have access to people who can inspire us without even us knowing them. And I think if you look at my mom's generation, you look at siblings and friends and family, and that was your inspiration, right?
Right.
And today we have access to, I mean, I'm very optimistic on behalf of my generation and the next, and I'm very optimistic about the near future because thanks to technology and the way the world is connected, we are very powerful. The question is, do we understand the access we have? Do we understand that there's multiple very many different ways to live your life? And I'm very passionate about my next book that is all about life design. How do you want to design your life? You know, that question was not given to your parents, right? It was not given to my, it was not given to that generation. But we can afford to ask ourselves, what kind of life do I want to have? And how is it going to be designed? It's not only about being employed, unemployed, healthy, unhealthy, full-time, part-time, self-employed, employed. There are many, many, many more, ways to live your life than only fitting those four boxes, right? So I'm very, very interested in talking to people about how would your perfect life design look like? Can you explain to me how you want to work, with what you want to work, who you want to work with, and what is the purpose of what you're doing. So you are just ahead of your time because you're doing many different things, and you are probably a great inspiration privately to many of your friends and family because Well, you designed your own life, basically, right? You designed a portfolio of income, and you have many interests, and you turn that into a way of living and inspiring people, and many, many more people like us. We will see that in the future, because the economy is changing towards a much bigger service industry and intangible industry. So it's a very exciting time ahead, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, just when you were just talking about, you know, being an inspiration to other people, because I know that you are, you know, your TED Talk, I was able to catch some of it.
Thank you.
It was just really, really powerful. And so it makes me just think of one of the things of leading from example, which is just one of the things I love about TED Talks anyway, is that I feel like it is a great example of the power of utilizing your voice. And so when do you feel was the first time that you realized the power of your voice?
First of all, I have to be very honest. Most of my life, I was asked to shut up. You know, I've been – no, really. Since the day I could speak, I had opinions, and I was challenging the teachers and parents and adults, and – I've always been extremely curious. I always wanted to ask why. And in the school system back in the 70s, 80s, the teachers didn't really like the why, right? And so I was actually kicked out of school in seventh grade. And I'm a great learner. I love going to school. I go to school still. I still go to the best universities in the world. I mean, I spend a fair amount of my own money, every year studying still. So I never understood why I was kicked out, but I didn't fit the normal learning styles, and the teachers found me super annoying. So it was really tough. I was actually 16 years old. 16, that's late, and you heard some of my TEDx talk. 16, that was the first time a teacher told me that I had a talent within speaking in my mother tongue, that is Danish, right? And I never realized that could be a living. But he told me, you know, you should go for that. So I realized that I should be leading people, but not like a manager, but not leading. You know, that's a very different term. And I should be speaking and writing. So I kind of implemented that, but I didn't know anyone who was living doing that. I didn't know anyone doing it. And at that time, you couldn't Google anything, right? I didn't even have an email, right? So I was completely isolated in these small suburb towns in Denmark, and so I was very depressed for many years, because I knew what I was supposed to do, but I just didn't know how. And that darkness, that frustration, and I felt very depressed. That gave me a lot of good insights in the darkness of not the price of never finding your talent or never finding your platform. So I knew that I was asked by one teacher. Later in life, I might have been 18 or something, if I would go to a high school and talk to students who are immigrants and making a lot of problems in the society. And I'm not born in Denmark. I was born in Morocco, but I grew up in Denmark. And I went to that school because I had a very difficult upbringing. You know, I had foster parents. I went to children's home, institutions, kicked out, all that, you know. But I was starting a fairly good career in high school and whatever later on. So I was asked to go out and talk to these young people about taking school seriously and you know, finding, you know, that passion and start working harder. So I went to that school, and I had a two-hour presentation, the first ever in my life, and the feedback was amazing. So I realized, you know, I should be talking to people who have a hard life. I should be talking to people who don't find any, you know, a lot of people feel that life is a never-ending suffering, right? It's suffering, it's painful, it's without any light for the end of the tunnel. So, and I can give people that little light. I cannot give them the way, I cannot take the pain away, but I can enlight their little candlelight deep inside themselves and make that burn. And then they have to maintain that burning fire. So I did that, and I started seeing that's a way for me to make a living. But it took me another 10 years, I have to be honest. I had to go through corporate life, being employed, being fired 3 times, going through all that. And I actually had to wait until 2007. 2007, I was in a job, I was pregnant, and I was fired. And when I was fired and pregnant, that was probably my low point in life. You know, it was my first child. Mm. I think I was, I didn't deserve that, but I lost something very important, and that was my loyalty towards employment. So I realized that being employed is no way, not even close to be anything that can give you security in life. Actually, it's the opposite. It's actually the opposite. So I made a decision on the spot that I would never, that I would never be employed again. Again, I've never been self-employed before. I didn't even have a product. I had no website. I had no money. I was pregnant and tired and, you know, all the things that goes with the first pregnancy. But I knew I could speak, and I knew what I was good at. So I was lucky in a way because I knew I was good at selling. I was good at customer service. I was good in loyalty programs, things I've been working with. So I started telling people that if they want, they could rent me. You know, I was freelancing. And just after a few weeks, I signed a contract with an IT company who hired me 2 days a week to help them design a customer strategy. And that was enough money for me to pay my rent and not to be fearful. Because if you're stressed and you have a lot of fear in life, you're not creative. So they covered just my basic income. It was not a great job, you know, but it was good enough. And then I started speaking because then I had 3 other days throughout the week that I could start speaking. So I started speaking it, and I asked $1,000, so you know, something basic. And today I'm like 15-20K per hour, you know. So I took it really far, but it took me like I'm probably one of the most booked and highest paid speakers in Europe, at least. Here in U.S., you have many, many great speakers who are very well paid because they're super celebrities, right? But in Europe, I'm still recognized. And imagine me making per hour more than maybe, you know, both of my parents will do even in 5-6 months of hard work. So, I think I inspire people by saying you don't have to be famous, you don't have to be the best, but you need to have something you want to say. What is your voice? What is your message? What is it that you want to, what do you want the world to go out and do? And how are you going to build a movement that is moving without you? You know, that's otherwise it's not a movement, right? So, so that was actually the beginning of my career. A lot of pain, a lot of darkness, and then a very critical, deep crisis economically and personally. And I can only tell you, I'm so happy that hit me, and the deepest crisis was a gift. I see that now. It absolutely made my challenge clear to myself, and it made me want to survive, and it made me super sharp, very innovative, and very, very good at what I'm doing. So don't waste a crisis. That's also very, very important. If you face a crisis, get the most out of it, because it is really You can turn, and I mean, I lost a child. I mean, I lost my parents. I've been through a lot of pain in life. So don't, you know, I know what it means to be in a pain where it feels like every bone in your body is broken and you cannot breathe. Like, I know the pain of really suffering. Yet, I still want to say every crisis can bring something in you again that can take you to the next level, whatever that level might be. It's not only income or status or titles. It can be much deeper and much bigger than yourself, you know?
And, yeah, what do you think? Because to me, there is just something mystical about that, right? That some people just, they get on this trajectory. It's like a spark goes off in them when they are backed into a corner. So prior to this, so I was a news reporter for a long time, never ever thought about actually owning the news company that I wrote for, right? And I remember around 08, 09, the economy began to take a downturn. People started getting laid off. Newsrooms, you know, they were getting slashed. And it was the first time that it ever crossed my mind that, oh my God, nobody is ever going to be as concerned with my future as me. Like, can go work somewhere. My boss might love me. But at the end of the day, nobody cares about that more than me.
No.
And so that was the first time that I ever started thinking about entrepreneurism. Never thought about it before. And then what you're saying about your journey and you know, losing your job and being pregnant, and what am I going to do? What's my next step? What do you think it is when we are going through a crisis or we're facing difficulties that for some people it becomes a trajectory, whereas for some other people it may cause them to get stuck in a rut?
You know, you only have like kind of two reactions when you face fear. And fear is really, really ruling a lot of people's lives. Fear is just like love or whatever, compassion. It's just a feeling. It's not rational. It's actually very useless, you know. I mean, it was useful 10,000 years ago, but it's not useful today. So today we don't have the same, I mean, you, of course your life can be in fear and all that. I mean, you can be in danger of your life and all that. But basically, you need to master your brain, because in the moment you start letting fear, anxiety, all these things take over your brain has no power left to start being creative and creating the solution. And you know what? Actually, I have a lot of good friends, you know, super smart people who studied at MIT and, you know, and they taught me very smart thinking approaches. For instance, you can fix pretty much any solution, any problem in the world by design thinking or critical thinking, and there's a lot of design processes that are designed to solve problems. You know, you use them at NASA, you use them in politics. So, and how to handle conflicts with people. And when you start studying these things, and when you start studying just a little bit about your consciousness and mind and the brain, there's so much amazing readings out there now, because the brain is probably the most sexy object right now. And there's so much literature available that is easy to understand. And when you start studying your mind and your brains, then you start understanding who is actually the biggest threat in my life, and it is my brain. So you have to learn to master your brain. And then also, money is really an issue. If you have no money and you are afraid of being fired, and if you're afraid of getting sick, it is very difficult to have the balls and the power and the courage to tell your boss that you're not happy with the situation. And then you start living a life that is actually maybe not even worth living, right? So I have been broke most of my life. You know, it's clear, you know, like, so not having money and have no status, I've been out, you know, I've been kept down, or, you know, the kids were not allowed to play with me because I was the child who were in foster family, or my clothes was not clean, or I didn't have a nice lunch bag or whatever. So I was always this kid that no one was allowed to play with, and I couldn't have play dates, and I couldn't afford to go to any camps or what. Like, I was that child. And the thing is, and this is very, I think this is very critical, and this is, whoever listens to this podcast, I hope that they will pay attention to the next thing, because if you've all your life been alone and been an outsider, right? I mean, I think a lot of people feel they've been alone, and they carry a big secret within the family or whatever, alone.
Right.
And if they feel very out as an outsider, you know, never included, never among the top five in class and whatever, you know, then I have a very important message. If you have been used to being an outsider or even alone, it's a strength, you know, because when you go through pain, you will feel alone and maybe as an outsider. Mm-hmm. So that strength that comes from knowing how that situation is very good. Also, people cannot take anything away from you because you've already been broke and alone. You know what I mean? So when people, it's very important. So
great point.
So when people, and you know what, I still invest my money in big projects, and sometimes they fail. Sometimes I lose a lot of money, and sometimes I make a lot of money, and it's all that. Yet today, to this very day, as we speak, even last night, I talked to my husband about how much we have invested and all that. And, you know, the thing is, what if we lose everything, right? And I just did an investment a few years ago, and we were dishwashing, right? And one evening he said, so how much did you invest? And I said, I invested so much that if this doesn't work, we'll lose everything. Okay, I just want to know, he said. And, you know,
trusting. You have a good mate.
But, you know, I've been with him for 23 years, and we grew up together. And, you know, when we met, we had nothing. We had a single bed. Like, we lived in a room that was so small. There was only a single bed, one pillow, and one comforter. Like, we lived for that month, right? We didn't even have a double bed or whatever. So we have had, and we had, like, the most, you know, basic meals you can imagine, like egg and bread and a $5 wine, you know. But the thing is, because you've lost everything before in your life, it doesn't scare me. I'm as good a human with or without money. I'm as a good mom with or without money. There's things that I like I can give my kids with money, for instance, security for healthcare. But the thing is, I'm not a worse human being because I have no money, or if I have money. And you know what? You know what's the best thing? You can take everything away from me. I promise you, the next day I'll be starting all over again. I have as much energy, drive, and ambition now, I'm turning 43, as I had when I was 20. There's no difference. I have the same energy. I have the same passion. I have the same drive. So there's, and as long as I have that mental hunger, you cannot take anything away from me. And speaking about timing, we might be facing a new crisis, right? We don't know. The GDP numbers are coming out on Friday. The numbers look great for U.S., but we don't know, and the trade war. No one really knows. Let me tell you, don't fear a global crisis. It will hit us. If now or in 10 years, it will come again and again. It's always been like that. The thing is, I became independent. I came into the IT industry in 1999. You know what happened in 2000, 2001? I became independent in 2007. You know that crisis hit us in 2007 and 8. I've always picked the worst timing to start my career. Yet it always has been a good timing for me.
Right.
So you cannot sit and wait for, you know, the best timing. Timing is not something you wait for. It's something you create.
Right. And I always say, too, like, if you, like, sometimes, too, if somebody asks me to speak or they do something that's outside my comfort zone, I usually say yes before I can think about it. Because if you sit there and you really think about things, oh, my gosh, then you start finding a million reasons why it's not the right time or why you can't do it, you know?
You know, I like saying yes to things I don't know anything about because that gives me a reason to study and learn.
Yeah.
And it gives me a reason to start asking people that know better than me, what is this about, right? So things I don't know anything about, I'll happily write an article or give a talk about it in 2 weeks. And by 2 weeks, I will know not everything, but I will know a lot about it. And the thing is, I'm not a super, super, super smart woman. Like, I'm not the... I don't have the highest IQ in the Bay Area or anything, but if I understand something, if I understand it, other people will understand it too if I explain it, right? So the thing is, I can take the most complicated subject, and if I get to understand it, I will remember it forever, and I'll be able to communicate it so that everyone else will understand it too.
Right. Yeah, that was like some of the best advice I ever got as an early reporter. I was a young reporter. I straight out of college, and my editor said, hey, this is like one of the jobs where you don't have to pretend to know anything.
Yeah.
You know, go talk to people and ask them tons of questions. Don't pretend to know anything. And that, to me, was just so freeing, so that I took it into all parts of my life. If somebody said something, I don't care if it was a word, I didn't know the definition. What does that mean? Tell me about that. I don't know. It just gave me such a freedom to be able to ask and not pretend to know, you know?
And you know what? You will sometimes find out that they don't know either, you know. They're just using a word.
Isn't that the truth?
That is
the truth. So true. I could talk to you for hours and hours, but I don't want you to leave without me being able to ask you about your work at Trade Conductor and Capital Aid. Could you talk to me a little bit about both those companies, how you got involved and got started?
Yeah, you know, I started Trade Conductor many, many years ago because I'm very good in selling. And I since I was a kid, I traveled all my life. I'm very comfortable with working among people from all nationalities and religions, and I'm very open-minded. And somehow I look like an Italian, Moroccan, Spanish. I look very much like someone from everywhere and nowhere. So I can go to Saudi Arabia and I can put on my abaya and I can have very fruitful conversations with men and women and do business. I can go to China and I don't look like an Asian, but you know what I mean. Like I fit in most countries. So it means that I created a global business, and a lot of people have great ideas, but they have no network and no selling skills. They don't know how to sell. So you can basically say that Trade Conductor is renting out network and selling skills. So I'm a salesperson. You rent if you want to close a big deal in whatever country it is, and then you pay me like when the assignment is done and considered as being successful. So you can just imagine if I get like 10% of a deal or 5%, it's a fair amount of money, right? So I do what I love the most, spending time with people and travel, and hopefully I convince myself that by making countries, like if I make a deal between Saudi Arabia and Israel or Egypt and Sweden, I believe that I'm participating, maybe helping world peace a little bit, because if you trade with someone, you don't want to bomb them, right? So I hope, I give a little bit to the world peace. That's what I say to myself. So that's really nice. And that's my big why. Get Capital Aid was actually a little bit of a funny story. It's a fintech bank. You might know that the banking industry is getting really disrupted. I mean, most banking today is about technology, right? So, but a lot of small banks, peer-to-peer lending, crowdsourcing platforms are seeing, you know, the daylight, and more people are trusting these platforms more than the bank. A lot of people have had enough of big banks, and they don't get the service they deserve, and it's not a fair system, and you cannot rent money even if you need the money, and the banking system is super biased. If you're a woman, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a Latino, or even a woman of color, whatever, it's only 1% likely that the bank will give you any money, unless if you're a white man who is a dropout from Stanford, you will probably get all the money you ask for. So the system is so biased. And I was never, that's part of my story too. When I was 18, I went to my bank and I asked for a very simple loan, I think $3,000. And I said, I need that money to start my own business, you know. And they were very, very frank, and they said, you cannot, you know. I couldn't even get like credit. And then I walked out of the bank, and I was like, one day, you know. And so 4 years ago, I was asked by some of the very early investors of Skype and TradeShift and other remarkable companies if I want to join the board, because it's very publicly known that I'm training banks because I don't like them, right? So I'm training them to become better versions of themselves, and that's actually why I get hired by banks all the time, because I'm not impressed with them, right? So they love me. But sometimes it's actually very good to be open about your opinions, because most people are like pretending, right? So I'm not pretending. So I'm very honest. So I work with a lot of banks and insurance companies and law offices and industries that I think should be better and remember why they are around. Anyway, so they asked me to become a member of the board, and I gave a lot of feedback. And Hitachi from Japan invested a lot of money to build a biases-free bank to small business owners. And I love that. I love the fact that small business owners like women could get in and get a loan. And so, but after a year, they asked me to become the CEO, of course, you know. And my first reaction was, no. Yeah, I cannot be a CEO of a bank. I mean, I don't know anything about it. Yeah, that was my first impression. And then I said, okay, you know, let me give it a year. So, and then I moved to the U.S. And then, so right now, as we speak, we're moving the bank. I mean, the bank is really an algorithm, and we are still building it. It's technology, you know. It's not like a building. So we're moving it to U.S., and I just had a fruitful, very nice meeting with Hitachi and about further investment and the future. So I'm moving the bank, if you can call it a bank, to U.S. now. So I'm running it, as a CEO. And you know what? So here's the thing. When I walk into a room, I can choose a lot of titles. I don't like titles, right? But if I walk into a room and I meet someone and I say, hi, I'm the CEO of a fintech bank. Remember, I live in Palo Alto. Then people will almost kiss my feet, right? And they're like, oh, super impressed. Super impressed. And there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just a high status thing, right? Can you imagine when I walk in the room and I say, hey, I'm a writer?
Exactly.
That's a, you know, it's just so funny for me to play with this because mm-hmm. you cannot tell. You cannot tell when someone walks in the room if that person is a whatever, you know. So I'm playing
exactly.
a little bit with it to you know, to experiment. Am I being treated better or worse if I have a foot in the old economy or in the traditional economy versus the free economy? And you know what? I even say most of the times when people ask me, so what do? I say, I have no job. And then people look at me, you don't have a job? No, I don't have a job. Like, I run a few companies, but I don't have a job. Like, and then, they, you know, people get so surprised. I think it's worth thinking about how people treat you regarding what kind of presentation you give about yourself. So, but mostly I say I don't have a job, because if people don't want to talk to me and don't want to ask the next question, then it's really not worth my time anyway. So it's not my loss, it's their loss. So I don't have a job, and I don't have a job. That's what I'm saying. I really don't have a job.
Right.
That's not how I see it. I have a life. Very different.
Right. Oh, yeah, so true. And I remember one time, because it's like a two-sided thing, too. I was at this workshop, and they did this exercise where they were like, okay, introduce yourself to the person next to you. You cannot tell them what you do for a living. You cannot talk about your family. I was really sitting there like, oh, my gosh, who am I? I was having like a crisis all of a sudden, like, oh, what? Because I feel like, you, like what, to point to what you're saying, those are ways that we identify who we are, you know. I'm Sean's mom. I am a reporter.
Yeah.
All the, you know, these initial things that we say that I thought, oh, my goodness, how do I introduce myself to these people? And, you know, ultimately I ended up talking about, you know, being an avid reader and all this other kind of stuff about my interests.
Yeah.
But it really took me aback for a moment, you know.
You know, it's a very healthy exercise, and thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
You know what's very powerful? Titles does not really say anything about what you do or who you are. But if you say, I help people, for instance, just saying, I help people to publish their stories, right?
Right.
That you know, that could be a lot. That could be writing. That could be audio. That could be podcast. That could be TV. It could be a lot, right? But the thing is, if you tell, I help people with, then it is a more value-based proposition, it is more positive, and it gives everyone, regardless who they are, whatever schooling, background, ethnicity, or religion, they will understand what you do for a living. You know, that's very powerful, and I think we should start thinking, what is the value of my work? Some people will be very depressed when they find the answer because there's no value. But that's healthy, too, to find out there's no value in my work or no one appreciates my work. But start thinking, what am I helping people with? Because then you get the purpose, you get the why, you get the everything. So instead of looking for titles, and titles does not say anything about you as a human being.
No. I definitely want to bring you on to just talk about the work that you're doing at Get Capital Aid, because it's just so amazing and so timely, particularly around the discussion of female entrepreneurs and our lack of access to funding and stuff. So I definitely will follow back up with you, because I definitely want to get into that work. Before you go, what is up for you for 2018? I know you mentioned the book that you're working on. What else do you have coming up, and where can our listeners go to get more information about you?
So what's up? You know, I'm building the last 2 years I've been spending a fair amount of time in building 3 new companies that are here in U.S. and 2 is in Europe on online communities, paid membership communities, and it's the next big thing, right? I'm very, very interested in understanding the whole membership community thoughts. So, and I've been quite successful with the 2 in Europe, so now I'm launching in U.S. and I'm pregnant with our 3rd child, so that's big news too. And so I think 2018 is a very, very exciting year for us, because I'm taking everything I know about sales and strategy and loyalty and networking, and I blend it into a new business. So again, you said something about the pleasure of asking why or what does this mean. You know what I like? I like to be an amateur. I like to do things that I don't know anything about, and I learn. And my mindset is not fixed at all. You know, I might in 5 years open, you know, now I just opened this bank. You know, in 5 years I might open, you know, whatever, a university or, you know, I don't know. But the thing is, it's not given what I will do 5 years from now. The only thing is I'm very curious and I need my freedom and I need to impact positively. Like, that's the three things that drives me in whatever I do. So communities, online communities, is absolutely what I'm spending time on. So you might be on the watch of something called nerdyspeakers.com.
Oh.
It's a community. Yeah, nerdy speakers. And you know why? I love people who are nerds. It doesn't matter if they're an expert in you know, marmalade or tulipans or, you know, kids. Or I don't care. I just love people when they're passionate about something and they know everything about one topic. You know, I love nerds. And because I'm in a conference center all day long speaking, I sometimes see people on stage who are not experts, who are not even passionate, who don't even like being there. Someone else put them on the stage, or someone else asked them to do this because they couldn't do it. And they don't know anything about the topic, and it's boring, and it should be, you know, forbidden to be on stage if you're boring. So I think, in a way, we decided, me and a partner, 2 years ago to build a community called Nerdy Speakers, helping people who have a voice, who have an expertise, but don't know how to be invited and get on the stages. So we, right now, we do the, we have done the beta version, and 200 people are graduating just after New Year, taking my program. And you know, I'm collecting all the resumes and the, you know, did they make back the money they invested, and how did, so all that data I'm getting now, and it looks very, very promising. So I'm gonna launch in the beginning of 19, nerdyspeakers.com in U.S. So I'm building the team. So I'm looking for great people who can help me launch that.
Sulaima, thank you so much for joining us. Nerdyspeakers.com, we definitely have to look out for that. It has been such a pleasure talking to you, learning more about what you're doing and contributing not only to the world of business, but just to women and sisterhood in general.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for doing this and bringing out our stories. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Lionesses, to learn more, again, you can check out Sulaima Jirani, right? Did I pronounce that right? I've been working on that all morning.
Oh, it's perfect. I love it. It's very exciting. I like it.
Oh, good. And at the bottom of this podcast, we will have a direct link to her website where you can stay abreast of all of her happenings for the rest of 2018. Again, Sulaima, thank you so much to our Lioness listeners. Until next time, unleash the Lioness within and rock your day.